promise of, or good promise. And in my view, for example, the Lord is my savior. I lack nothing. This is very cornerstone of the thing, and the rest are just a description. And for me, it's very a grounding statement in my view, and it's very strong. And you are my shepherd. I lack nothing. Finish. So, and later on, he also, the verse also says, I fear nothing. And later in time, the verse describes, a table has been prepared for me. For me, it's very good choice of having this verse this Sunday, and it's a wise choice, and I think we will learn more from the preacher today, I believe, and I hope you will get a blessing from it. So I will read through it once again. Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in a green pasture. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. 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 I believe that, you know, today I'm wearing a very big shoe, because as you know, it was Pius who was supposed to lead today, but he could not make it. He has to go somewhere. And he really, really wanted to be here, to the extent that he just called me that he has missed his flight. So you know that he really, really wanted to be here. And I have to step in his shoes. And he is stepping in the shoe of Pastor Joely, you know. So you realize that I'm in a very, very big shoe today. Amen. But I believe that God is, I'm not going to give a sermon, or I'm not going to preach. I'm going to leave some questions with you that I want you, that as you go out of this place, and even as you go through the week, think about them, answer them for yourself, and the rest will follow. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we want to thank you for this morning. We bless you that you have called your children, and at your feet that we can listen to you. Father, my prayer and desire is that each and every one of us will have a word from this sermon, or from this your word that we share, that you speak to each and every one of us the things that we need to change, the things that we need to transform in our life, the things that we need to continue to do, that we'll be better people as your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. And even as our brother was saying, I realized that, yes, God wants us to talk about this. And this is a popular psalm, and I think all of us know it very well, that to the extent that when you are sleeping and someone wakes you up and says Psalm 23, you'll be able to say at least a sentence from Psalm 23. Amen. It's so popular. And I was thinking about it. Why is it so popular? Think about it. This is a psalm about a shepherd. And this is a psalm that was written by a shepherd. Most of the time, when an expert writes a book, we say it's a bestseller, right? So it's popular because this psalm is written by a shepherd. And he knows very well the work of a shepherd. And so when he writes it, it just turns out to be a bestseller. And we all know it. So it's not surprising that it's a popular psalm that everybody knows. But today, I'm just going to pick two sentences from this psalm. Just two. One from the first verse and one from the last verse. I like talking too much, so just let me know when it's time. Okay. So just one from the first verse and then one from the last verse. But look at this. It's a popular psalm. It's an amazing psalm that you can apply to every aspect of your life. You agree? You can. But this psalm, I believe, is not for everyone. Many will not agree with me. This psalm is popular. It's amazing. But it's not for everyone. Can I show something? Do you agree that Norwegian welfare system is the best in the whole world? Okay, yes, it is. But you know that it's not for everyone in the world, right? It's the best in the whole world, but it's not for everyone in the whole world. It is for Norwegians and people who are connected to Norway in a way, working here, staying here, married to a Norwegian, a refugee that has been accepted here, and all that, and all that, and all that. So it can be an amazing psalm, but it doesn't apply to everyone. Who does it apply to? The first statement. And our theme says that, who is your shepherd? Who is my shepherd? When you have identified who is your shepherd, and that shepherd is the same shepherd of David, then this psalm applies to you. Amen? Amen. So if tonight, no, not tonight, this morning, okay, I will not explain why I'm saying tonight. This morning, if you are able to identify that your shepherd is the shepherd of David, then Psalm 23 applies to you. If you miss this one, this psalm may be amazing, it may be popular, but it will not apply to you. Amen. So the first thing I try to look out is this. Who is a shepherd? So I went to the dictionary to find out. Who is a shepherd? And he says that a shepherd is a person whose job is to take care of sheep. A shepherd. A person whose job is to take care of sheep. That is it. Then he says the verb is guiding. The verb, shepherd, is guiding somebody or a group of people to a destination that you want. Shepherd, guiding somebody or a group of people to a destination that you want. You have to decide where you want them to go, and you guide them to that place. So these are the definitions that I had. So that means that our question to this morning is this. Who takes care of you? Because our team says, who is your shepherd? So he says, who takes care of you? And again, who guides you, who directs you, and leads you to where he wants you to? So if you know who takes care of you, then that same person is the one that is going to direct you to the destination that that person wants. So it's very important that you know who the person. When you know who the person that is looking after you and guiding you, the destination is the person's destination. Amen. And if I ask this question here, I know we have a lot of answers, but I can group the answers into two. Just two. One, those group that will say that Jesus or the Lord is their shepherd. Just as David said, we have one group like that. And then anyone that will mention any other name apart from God, Jesus, the Lord, and all that, I also group them into another. So we have two groups. The first group that will agree that yes, the Lord is my shepherd. And the next group that will mention another name as the shepherd of their life or the shepherd of their soul. Let me take the second group first. If this morning, yeah, you cannot say that Jesus or the Lord is your shepherd, I would like to recommend to you that you change your answer. You change your answer and say that now Jesus or the Lord is my shepherd. So if you are here and you would have given me a different name other than the Lord or Jesus, I want to recommend to you that you change your answer and say that the Lord is my shepherd. Why can I say this? Because this shepherd we can trust. This is a shepherd that we have tried and tested, and we know that he's a shepherd who will not leave us. His word says, the verse in John 10:11. John 10:11, he says that, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. This is the shepherd we are talking about. And this is a shepherd that if you will take him as your shepherd, he says that he will lay down his life for us. Is it true? At least we have evidence that he died on the cross and his arms are still open for everyone that wants him to be his shepherd, he's ready to embrace. So I can recommend this shepherd to you. Any other person, any other one, if you can move to the next scripture. Any other one will be one of this. Yes. No, I think this is wrong. In Jeremiah 23, not 28. So just skip it and go to the next one, the Ezekiel. Ezekiel 34, if you had it right. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't like reading too much. That's why I want to skip it. But he says that the son of man, prophesy against the shepherd of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherd of Israel, who only takes care of themselves. Now, any other person who is your shepherd, this is what they do. Who takes care of themselves? Go back. Takes care of themselves. Who takes care of themselves should not shepherd take care of the flock. You eat the cat, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak and healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the stray and searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. This is what any other person would do. But I know that the shepherd, who is the Lord, he takes care of us. And even when we get lost, he's prepared to look for us. Amen? When we get lost, this shepherd still looks for us. So I'm recommending this shepherd to you. And I believe that by the time we finish, if you had a different answer, you change your answer to be, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Then I move to the next group. So now we have all come into that group that says that the Lord is my shepherd. Back to our illustration, Norway. We said that it belongs to Norwegians and people that have come to or have a connection with Norway. Is it true? Yes, but you have certain responsibilities. You have certain duties that you have to do. And when you perform those ones, it gives you another level, huh? You know? For those that have come to to be connected. You might have stayed here for some time. You should have worked for some time. There are other things that connected to it. Maybe I'm not right, but there is something expected of you. It's not just enough for you to be a Norwegian. No, it's not just enough. There's something expected of you to do to end that. And for all of us that said that the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, there are a few things that I want to tell you that this shepherd wants you to do. Just a few things that this shepherd wants you to do. The first one is, can you go to John 10:9? The first one is, he wants you to enter through the right gate. This is the first thing that the shepherd wants you to do. And so he says that, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Do you know what came into my mind? You see, you can try in a way to enter Norway, right? But if you are not legal, you will not like to go out because you cannot go out and come in anyhow. Yeah, maybe some people don't get it because they are always legal, you know? Yeah, they are always legal. But I know what I'm talking about. If you are not legal, you cannot go in and come out. Jesus says that, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. The shepherd that this morning you are saying that, the one that you are saying is your shepherd this morning, says that for you to be part of the flock, you have to enter through the gate. And the gate is through him. Brothers and sisters, he's talking about salvation. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, then you are not part of this because he says that he's the way, the truth, and the light. No one goes to the Father except through him. So to be part of the flock, this morning he's telling you, be sure that you are entering through the flock the right way. And that is salvation. Be sure that you have him as your Lord and personal Savior. And that is in John 14:6. The next one is John 10:14. Again, we will stay around John 10. John 10:14. He says that he knows them and they know him. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you know him, he knows you, because you entered through the right gate. Have you just thought about it? Why you have to enter through the right gate? Because elsewhere he says that he calls them by name. When you enter through the right gate, he writes your name. So that in the morning when he's taking you out, your name is in the register and he can mention your name. I don't know if you do that here, but back home in school, up to, I think, senior high, every morning the teacher will sit down and start mentioning them one after the other. And you respond, present, present, out. That means you are in school, you are outside of the class, or absent. It's important that you enter through the right gate. It's important that your name is written so that he knows you and you also know him. Amen. In my language, we have a saying that the person that you know at day, in the night, you don't need to light a candle to look at his face. I'm not able to bring it into English very well. But a person that you know by day, you don't need to light a candle to look at the person at night. So David will say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? I will fear no evil. In the darkest moment, he still could identify his shepherd because he knows his shepherd. That is it. So he can say that though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I'll fear no evil. because he knows his shepherd. Amen. The next one is they hear his voice. John, yeah, thank you. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. We'll be here for some time. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? I remember back home, we had some chicken and goats. No, we keep them for eating now. And we have a sound. This week, when I was going through this, I remembered that because it was a long time when we moved from where we were, we couldn't keep animals anymore. There was a place that we could keep animals, but when we moved to another place, we couldn't keep animals, so I've forgotten. But when I was thinking about this scripture, it came to mind how we used to call the chicken. And when I come from school, because in the morning we open them, they go, we give them some corn, eat and go. When you come back from school, it's your duty to get them around to be sure that the number is still intact. You know, no one has touched a chicken or something. So we go around in the neighborhood making this sound. I hope I can make it. it's not coming, but there's a way I could do it very well. And as I moved through the neighborhood, all our chicken, they will follow me home. All of them. Initially, we didn't have for the goats, but the goats also learned it. And so as I move, all of them, they will just follow me. Then I give them corn, count, and they go back to the night. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? It's important that this semester we are learning about, in our growth group, we are learning about hearing from God. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? When it comes about hearing, one scripture that comes into mind so much is Samuel. If you read 1 Samuel 3, Bible says that Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle where the ark of God was. Listen to it. He was sleeping in the tabernacle where the ark of God was. And when God spoke, he did not hear. He heard, but he thought it was Eli's voice. So you can be here. You can be in the house of God. You can be in the flock. He will call out, and you hear a different voice. Because if you read the verse 7, it says that Samuel did not hear because the word of God has not been revealed to him. I want you to pray that God reveals himself and reveals his voice to you. That when he speaks, you hear. And you know very well that this is God speaking. And once you can identify that this is God speaking, it's done. Every other thing is nonsense. Can I say nonsense? It's nonsense. It doesn't matter anymore. Every other thing is out. And then he says that they know me. We have talked about that. And they follow me. Simple. If you hear the voice, you know that your shepherd is calling you. And from our definition, he will guide you. So to guide you, you have to follow him. Abi? Oh, sorry. Okay. Abi is Ikesant? Ikesant? Yeah. And that is a pigeon. Abi? Okay. Isn't it? Yeah. The moment you hear his voice, you know he's the one calling, and whatever he says, you just follow. And because he's your shepherd, he will guide you to where he wants you to go. So if God speaks in your life, in every aspect of your life, whatever you are going through, when he speaks and you hear it, you know that this is my shepherd speaking. You just follow whatever he's saying you should do, and he will take you to the destination that he wants you to be. Amen. The last sentence that I want to take from the from Psalm 23 is the last verse. And not the whole verse, but the last one. He said, and I will dwell. Most of the time, right? As our brother was saying, all the others are good and want to put it, we want to accept it. And he leads me, he set a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He does this, he does this. But there's one thing that David says there that for me is so, so important. He says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Brethren, if you have identified that the Lord is your shepherd, just as David did, there's one thing that I want you to do also. Make a resolution to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. And this is my cry. That you matter what, because if you look at the life of David, in the part of his life that he was really down and he has committed the worst sin, he still said, Lord, I want to be... God gave him the opportunity. Whether I punish you as in God himself punish you, or I hand you over to your enemies to punish you. He said, no, I want you to punish me because I know you are a merciful God. This is a man who said that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. If this can be our resolution, that you matter what, you matter the definition people are giving to certain things. You matter the situations that governments and whatever they are making. Whatever decision that I make will be made in the house of the Lord. Then Psalm 23 is perfect for you. Psalm 23 makes meaning if you can do these two things. Two things. Who is the shepherd of your life? And making a resolution to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life. Amen. And I want you to be silent. Right? Just think about this few words. I don't know. But when I was just asked, is it possible for you to step in for Pius? And I said, okay, why not? Okay, yeah, is there any topic? And they said Psalms. This is just the psalm that came to mind right there. I believe that God speaks to us. And there's always something that he wants us to change or something. But if you have heard nothing this morning, there's only one thing that I want you to keep in your mind. And think about it and find the answers yourself. Who is the shepherd of my life? Shall we pray? And even as I was talking, I said that maybe you could have given a different answer and mentioned a different name. If you have not made that decision that you want to follow Christ, maybe you have been led here because you want company, you want people, you want to speak to some brethren. It's good. That the main thing here is that for us, the shepherd of our soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have not accepted him as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to make that decision this morning. And his word says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. Make that decision so that together we can all say that the Lord is our shepherd. Maybe in times we have failed to do the things that the shepherd is calling us to do, even though we say he is our shepherd. We want to go back to him because his word says that he's still looking for us. He's the shepherd that looks for the lost. And his arms are open for you. Receive his love this morning. And our lives will be better. We know that we'll go through the darkest time. But we are sure that he will be with us. Father, I bless you for this morning. And I thank you for this word, and you know the heart of your people. And even as I speak to you this morning, right now, I pray that you do for them, O God, that which you want to do in their lives. Many that are yearning for you, O God, I pray in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you meet them at a point of need. Anything that we have to change in our life, the things that we have to do more for you, that we can hear you, O God, when you speak, and we can be able to follow you. I pray in the name of Jesus that this morning, O God, you speak into our hearts, that we know that it's you, our Lord, speaking, that we'll be changed and be transformed by your word, that indeed we will know, we'll be confident that you are our shepherd. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.